Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm a sleepy Glenn the Geek from a stormy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 20th, 2011, episode 123, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do the show right now because I'm on my iPhone right now, Glenn, looking at my badminton app because badminton starts today, so it starts tomorrow. So we will keep you up to date on all of that, but does it start today or tomorrow?
Well, actually, they should
tomorrow.
Be doing the jog. They should be doing the jog today. So,
jog is today.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm like looking on here.
Actually, the jog's probably happening right about now.
Yeah, they don't have the start times up, and they don't have the results of the jog just yet either, so they must be doing it right now. That's so exciting! This is great. And good luck to all the Americans out there. I'm making that huge journey, and of course, we have a lot of British riders here for Rolex that have already arrived, so it's going to be a great competition. Apparently, the footing looks amazing. The place looks great, of course, because it's badminton, you know, that's just a lead up to Rolex. Yay!
Well, don't forget all the coverage on of badminton on Horse and Country TV. And also on Horse and Hound has a bunch of coverage, too. So you can just Google that and find all the coverage from those two places for badminton. And, of course, you know, all of our coverage for Rolex next week.
Yay! Because we'll be broadcasting live. Glenn, I'm not kidding you. It's amazing. Every single person and their brother is having some function that weekend. I got invited to, like, I never go anywhere, okay? Never. I go crazy on this farm. Like, I've got to get out of here. 3 parties I was invited to on April 30th. I'm like, I'm going to be in Kentucky. Oh, I'm going to be in Kentucky. I never go anywhere, and everybody picked that weekend. So I'm missing a bunch of stuff. I wouldn't say missing it because I'll be in Kentucky, but I just had to laugh. I was like, seriously, people, schedule something on a different day.
Well, we have something. You could come over. We're having a little birthday get-together for me on Saturday night this week. You and Chad could just fly in to get one of his planes and head over here quick.
You know what? We're actually trying to buy tickets for a real vacation. So we actually were online yesterday looking for tickets to Hawaii, and they were not a bad price. So he's like, okay, we'll get them when we get home. They jumped up $200 a ticket from the time
Wow.
we were sitting at lunchtime when he was at work to getting home that evening. $200
Wow.
a ticket. oh, gosh, it made us mad. I said, well, let's just wait. Maybe they'll go back down.
Yeah,
we'll
I don't
see.
Know. With the price of fuel, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know. Probably
yeah.
not. Well, yeah. I guess Jennifer has got a busy day, so we probably should go to her and find out what's going on today's show.
On today's show, we break from the gate with Horses in the Morning's favorite Derby contender owner, Patty Reeves, who will have for us her latest goings on from the Mucho Macho Man camp. And I'm sure she'll have lots of other good inside info from the goings on at Churchill Downs in general. Can't wait to hear that. And next up, it's the Wednesday Horse Health Report with Christy and Dr. Nicholas Frank this week. Looks like we have our final installment of the very informative laminitis series to set you off your feet, Glenn.
That's pretty good. Set you off your feet. I like that pun. Hey, Jamie, I just want to say before we get to our daily winnies today that, boy, a few people around here had a long night last night. We had, I haven't heard any reports from the Kentucky Horse Park yet, but there was some nasty thunderstorms rolled through and our weather alarms were going off over and over and over again. And we had a tornado warning go off about 1:30, and that was for the horse park area up to Georgetown and the Toyota plant. And I do know that that the Toyota plant had its sirens going and Georgetown had its sirens going, and there a few people posted on Facebook this morning that they had a long night with the sirens going all night. So I know there was
I interject? I had a long night, too, because Glenn, being the weather weenie, had to be sitting in the living room with the Weather Channel on half the night.
No, I was only out there for about an hour, so I resemble that remark.
It seemed like forever.
The TV set.
Anyway, it's time. First daily weenie today goes out to Angela Thomas. And Angela says that, or on Twitter, posted yesterday morning, the Horse Radio Morning Show is totally making my morning love them. Well, thank you, Angela. We love our listeners, too. We appreciate you listening and tweeting about us.
That's very sweet. Do you notice, though, I want to just back up a little bit, that when Jennifer starts giving you a hard time, I just back up. I just back this train up and just let you guys sort it out. My job description does not include marital counselor. I've got enough work on my own. so just know that I'm listening to you, Jennifer. I'm just trying to avoid any further discussion. I don't need help. And my daily Winnie goes out to Beverly. She was checking into some of our older shows, and she says, I so enjoyed your show on March 21st where you interviewed NATRC, with that's National Association of Trail Rider Coalition. I don't know what that is. I forget. Glenn, do you remember?
Jennifer, the
North
National
American Trail Riding
Conference. That's right.
Well, she listened to that show and apparently learned more than we did. but she said she loved the part with Lisa Brooks, who has accomplished so much with her Missouri Fox Trotter Chargers Rampage. And she said she got a kick out of how we handled how humble she is. She's the one who was on the air and was like kind of giving us a little brief overview of kind of what she does and the kind of competitions and all this. And you were like, Glenn was like, who's the person that holds, like, every single record in the – oh, that would be me. So she's, like, this super awesome, amazing rider, and she's just humbly kind of discussing what the sport is and what it's all about. And Glenn had to basically pull her credentials out of her. So, yes, Beverly, I thoroughly enjoyed how Glenn handled that as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, too. We want to remind everybody that you can go back and listen to past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. It's easy to do, and, you know, so much of what we talk about is not dated. You can go back and listen anytime. So that's what Beverly was doing, and it just goes to show that we do have people listening to past episodes at any given point, and we appreciate that. And the last daily Winnie goes out to for a special reason, and that was Michelle Bergeron, our friend down there in Louisiana, Baton Rouge. She she was the one that lost her horse Sprite after a long battle with colic and back in the hospital and surgeries and the whole thing. And we announced it the one morning that it was the day for Easy Signs Online to be the title sponsor. And if you remember, Wayne from Easy Signs Online called in and said, you know, I heard about Michelle's horse. I would like to give her a memorial marker as, you know, as a gift. Well, Michelle wrote us an email yesterday to us and to Easy Signs Online and said, the marker arrived last night. It's beautiful, just beautiful. All of my students who were out today commented on it. It brought tears to the eyes of several. I have it over my desk until her tree is big enough to place it there. I can't thank you enough. Your generosity and kindness is overwhelming. All the best, Michelle. So Michelle received her marker, and we're glad you like it, Michelle. And I'm sure Wayne's thrilled, too.
Oh, that's nice. That was so nice of them to do that. On another note, as far as you've got a contest that's going on, and this sounds pretty amazing.
Yes, this is from the Riders for Helmets, Lindsay over there. She's going to be joining us on Monday morning, too, to talk about what they're doing over at Rolex, because they have some cool stuff going on. But Riders for Helmets is hosting the largest helmet giveaway ever. They're giving away 29 helmets worth over $4,500. And all
wow.
you have to do is stop by the ridersforhelmets.com website and sign up. That's it. There's no essays, no nothing you have to do except sign up. It's just no gimmicks. You just sign up. She had these helmets were all donated by the different helmet manufacturers. And so she decided that she's going to give them away in conjunction with Rolex, too. You can either sign up online or you can sign up when you go to Rolex. She's going to have a booth in the vendor area in the old indoor arena there where all the vendors are. And you can sign up there as well. So that's happening right now. 29 helmets worth over $4,500. And let me tell you, you know, when you take a look, when you go to her page and take a look there at the helmet giveaway, at the different helmets that are, some of these are $500 and $600 helmets, GPAs, Sam Shields, Troxels, Charles Owens, IRHs,
let's see here,
Tipperary's, Ovations, Devonair's, just on and on. The other thing that she's doing, so you're going to want to go and sign up for that, Jamie. The other thing
doing
is that they're giving away, now you have to be at Rolex to win this. If you're going to Rolex, you can win an iPad. That's a $600 iPad. You just stop by, sign up at the booth to win an iPad at the Riders for Helmets booth. And, of course, we all know what we talk about it all the time here, what Riders for Helmets is doing for helmet awareness around the world. And we can thank, you know, Lindsay specifically for that because she does all the work for it. So you can sign up for the iPad at Rolex as well. You're going to want to do that, too, because neither one of us have an iPad. I told her, I'm signing up. So I'm not family. I can win.
Yeah, I don't think we work for them, so we qualify. Now, they're giving away the iPad. They're giving away tons of helmets, but they're also giving away just a ridiculous amount of different prizes, like saddle pads by Equestrian Collection. They're giving away jewelry. Just all sorts of stuff, baseball caps. Really, you have to go over there and visit their booth for sure.
Yep,
or
definitely.
Sign up online.
Yep, that's right. So if you're not going to Rolex, you can sign up online. That she wanted to make it that way so everybody could participate. $4,500 for the helmet. It's the largest helmet giveaway ever. So you can just check that out. And there's a second thing that we want to talk about too. And we have a guest on the line to talk about that. Trish is with us, and Trish is going to tell us a little bit about something that they're very excited. You're just announcing this today, aren't you, Trish?
Yes, we are.
Yay! So you are hearing it first here on Horses in the Morning. First!
Yay! Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
Good morning. So tell us what we're announcing. I'm so excited.
Okay. Yeah, you sound like it. We are, too. We are announcing Gift of the Horse. Gift of the Horse is a major online fundraising event to benefit the American Youth Horse Council. It features 24 of today's leading clinicians in the industry. people are going to be able to write in and say why they are so-and-so's biggest fan, and they have an opportunity to win that trainer's prize package. And not only do they have a chance to win one of the trainer's prize package, they can submit up to three entries because they may have, it's going to be very hard to choose with this fantastic lineup of trainers that we have.
Well, that's, and I'm looking at the, it just went to, the website just went up today, I think, and it's giftofthehorse.com. And I'm taking a look at the trainers that are here that you can win a prize package from. And we're talking Clinton Anderson, Craig Cameron, Denny Chapman, Chris Cox. By the way, Denny Chapman was just on the Western Radio Show this week. Sean Florida, our friend that visits us here, our friend Julie Goodnight, Lyndon Gray, a regular contributor to the Dressage Radio Show, Guy McLean, our good friend from the World Equestrian Games, John Lyons, Lynn Palm, who we just saw a couple weeks ago, Pat Pirelli, Rex Peterson. Who don't you have? Monty Roberts, Dane Savoy.
I was just going to say that. Who don't we have? I know.
Ah, Chester Weber. I know which one I'm writing for. I'm not family, yeah. Right? I can write in.
Oh, you could absolutely write in.
Now,
spread the word.
What, okay, so you have to write an essay saying why, let's say Chester Weber in this case, I'd have to write an essay saying why I'm Chester Weber's biggest fan.
Yes.
Okay. And then what is the prize packages listed on the site here too?
Oh, yes. We have, if you click on, once they come into the site and they look under trainers, they can find the trainers there. And if you click on their photos, it will take you right into their page. And that will show you each clinician's prize package that they're giving away in detail. And then it will also have links to their Facebook page, so that gives you the opportunity to go like their Facebook page as well as visit their website.
Oh, cool.
And so it has a bio of the clinician along with their prize package.
And didn't you tell me that a couple of the prize packages actually included going, seeing, and visiting them? Wasn't one of them that?
Well, you know, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. And, yes, actually, there is a couple of them that are offering a day or two of training with them, which, and then they will go home with a prize package.
Wow.
Wow.
That's really cool.
It's very cool.
I want to go hang out with John Lyons and Josh Lyons.
Oh, let me tell you how much fun we have had contacting these trainers. Not only have we talked to some of them personally, which is very cool, and they've invited us to come meet them whenever we're out, you know, at their shows, but we've talked to their families. We've talked to their wives. I mean, it's just been fantastic. They're so nice and so nice and to work with. And even if it's talking to their people, you know, they have people.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So, but it's been so much fun, and it's just, we are so excited that we just can't stand it. And our fans, I think, are going to go crazy once they see this next campaign.
Well, this is great, and we're very excited to be the official radio partners here, and I notice our Horses in the Morning logo right there. You can listen to Horses in the Morning right on your page, and we appreciate that, too. That's fun.
Okay, so I'm looking at it online, and I want to get into the horse coupon book in just a second, because there's nothing I like more, or horse people like more than saving money. Back to the contest. You're supposed to pick your favorite horse trainer. You click on them, and then they ask you. You say why you are blank's biggest fan, this trainer's biggest fan, and you are judged on. Does your essay tell us why you are this person's biggest fan? Is it unique and interesting? Would this gift mean a lot to you? Did you put a lot of thought and time into your essay? I would probably put more thought and time into this essay than anything I ever did in my educational career. So I would think most horse people would do that too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why are you studying? I'm not studying. Be quiet. I'm writing an essay.
Yes.
So I certainly hope everybody goes in there, and then you can vote on your favorites. and see why it would make a difference to you and to that person. So that's cool. Now, tell me about this horse coupon book. This may be the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, can I just say one more thing about Gift of the Horse?
Oh, yeah.
Before we move on? Okay. One other thing, other than, okay, we have these celebrity trainers. Okay, that's huge in itself because we all love them. But we have opened this up to any trainer. I mean, if you've got, you know, Billy Bob and he lives down the street and he's a trainer, he can join this as well. So this is going to be really big because trainers, just local trainers, are going to be able to come in and promote their business and share with, you know, with our fans who they are and where they're located, and they can interact with our fans and possibly gain new clients out of this.
You need to post yourself, Jamie.
No. I am not putting myself anywhere close to all these names, okay? They'll be like John Lyons, Clinton Anderson, and Jamie Jennings.
And Jamie Jennings from Arizona.
Hey, I like that name. You got a great name. That has a ring to it. It really does.
Sounds like a radio name even.
Yeah.
I'm married into it. I'm married into it. It's not.
Oh,
really
well,
cool.
Then you picked a good name to marry into.
I thought so.
Okay. All right. So horse coupon book. Yes. Ask away.
I'm just curious. So, you buy those coupon books that you get, and it's, you know, Jack in the Box special of two burgers, buy one, get one free, that kind of thing, which you never use. This is a horse coupon book. And that would be awesome because you will actually use this. What is in it? I don't see where it says what is in the horse coupon book, but I just love the idea.
Well, yes, it's going to have about 100 categories, everything from feed, supplements, I mean, even jewelry, you know, just because it's every now and then you want to treat yourself. And it's just going to be fantastic. And
now, it's not out yet. It's coming next year, is that right?
It's actually coming out at the end of fall, so it will be ready. It will be ready for Christmas, and it's going to be the best Christmas gift you could ever give to your horse buddy. It's going to have so much value in it. It really is.
Jamie, you're right too. I see. We used to get those coupon books every year, and we never freaking used the coupons because we'd always forget about it. But this is one book you'd probably use the coupons.
Yeah,
well,
I'm looking at it right now, and I mean, it's everything from apparel to arena materials to books, blankets, bedding, dewormers, fencing, round pins. You can get a deal on round pins and ranches. I'm going down the line. This is awesome. So horsecouponbook.com, and it'll be available next fall. I know what I'm putting on my Christmas list this year.
Oh, we have had the request pouring in. They just want us to pre-sale it. They're wanting us to put them on the mailing list. I mean, right away. So we are really we're getting really excited about everybody who's excited about this book. Absolutely, they'll keep it in their car. I mean, they'll just take it with them. I mean, they never know when they're going to be stopping by the feed store. You know, so it's going to be a great. Great element.
Cool.
Well, the original website is.
I was just going to say the website again is giftofthehorse.com, and I'm surprised that wasn't taken. You guys got that. That was a good get there.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Was this not meant to be or what?
I'm really surprised that wasn't taken. We just posted on our Facebook page a link to it. And people can stop by there. They can write their essays, and they can win their prize packages with their favorite trainers over there. You have a bunch of trainers and a lot of friends of the Horse Radio Network there. And we're very excited, and we thank you for letting us be the official radio partner. And we'll be having you back on again to talk about maybe what we should do. We should have you back in a couple of weeks, and we could read a couple of the entries. So that would be fun.
Oh,
I think that would be a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
That'd be a lot
of fun. We'll have you back
then
in a couple of weeks, Trish.
Okay, thanks you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's cool. It's all kinds of winning stuff here today. We are the winning show.
I think this is exciting. I better come up with something. No, I can't. I'm a very poor writer. There's no way I could ever enter that. But I wish everybody the best of luck, and hopefully one of our listeners will win. So that'd be really
cool.
That's
exactly why we both do radio, because we stink at writing. It's why we don't have a blog. We'll let that to Courtney and Jackie. We'll let them do the blogs. We do the talking. And
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that, let's do our ad for today, and then we'll be back with Patty Reeves of the Mucho Macho Man fame.
Well, I had a chance to catch up with Bo from Back on Track Products, our title sponsor for today, and talk about one of his really neat products, and that is the mesh sheet from Back on Track. Well, hi, Bo, and welcome to Horses in the Morning. It's good to finally have you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, you know, we do appreciate you being a sponsor here on Wednesdays at Horses in the Morning. And I wanted to talk to you today about one product that I know is very popular, and that's the mesh sheet. I wanted to ask you, why do you think we see so many top barns using this product?
I think it's for the consistency of the result that the product really works, and that's not only the mesh sheet, but it's all the products.
But the mesh sheet in particular, you know, is one that I do see. I see people coming up to you at shows when you're there and people buying it. So what does the mesh sheet do to help all these professionals and amateurs alike?
They increase blood circulation, and that helps the muscles to stay loose. And the horses is more loose and happy and more supple when the riders get on them. It feels almost like the horse are being warmed up. I used to compare it to almost like a nightly massage.
How long do you have to wear it? This is one of the questions I've always had, is how long do you have to wear it to start seeing the beneficial effects? How long does it have to be on there?
In the summer, people use it for 30 minutes and say to see effect. I would say to get the best effect, you leave it overnight, but obviously in summer it's too hot. But people use it before and after the ride, and they say to see a difference.
Now, is this only for a horse that has problems? I know as horse owners, we always think about situations when they come up and you actually have a problem. But is it also for preventative? Do you use it all the time?
Yeah, most people use it like preventative. They really help any kind of horse, sound or lame or sore back or cold back. They just get them that little bit extra massage over the night, like I said.
So, yeah, and so it's like I get my massage once a month whether I need it or not. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a daily thing, so it's really helped the horse's well-being.
Well, I know you have a lot of professional riders as well as amateur riders out there using the mesh sheet, and we can find that at backontrackproducts.com along with all the other products, and we'll be going over a couple of those in the weeks to come. Bo, we appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you to Bo for joining us this week and talk about one of his products. We appreciate that. Well, Jamie, we're waiting for our next guest to come up here, and I wanted to say I sent you a video this morning. It was a German video called Funny Horse Scout. Did you see that?
Glenn, I actually spent all of my prep time this morning watching that video because it is awesome. I have no idea what we're doing on today's show because I sat there and watched Scout, the funny horse, on YouTube. This is phenomenal. What a cool lady. If you guys haven't seen it, it is this woman, and she's clearly, like, you know, on stage, kind of in the middle of an arena with her horse, and they do a lot of cool, like, I guess she's doing kind of a skit. The reason I'm saying I guess is because it's in German, and I do not understand maybe but one word, which is nein, which I hear say a couple times. But you don't even need to speak English to understand what's going on. I mean, they are doing some really cool tricks. The horse is at liberty, and I just think everybody should go on and watch it. It's so cute. It is so cute.
It is cute. Scout, smart one. Let me tell you, I was very impressed with Scout. It was cool. And
not to be
whatever,
there's
two words we understood in there. And one, you said nine, and the second one was Scout. Apparently Scout is pronounced Scout, because I did understand they're saying Scout a couple times.
Yeah, and I want to comment, and the Appaloosa people, you can back me up on this, that there are smart Appaloosas, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and this one just looks like a big Dalmatian. Really does.
It's really cool looking.
Everywhere.
Oh, it's so cute. I'm watching it right now. She's going around the bed. There's a bed and, like, a jump she set up, and the horse is bridleless, and it's just, I posted a video not too long ago, and it's Bob Hope and Trigger that are laying in bed together, and Trigger keeps stealing the covers. That is reminiscent of this. This woman tries to go to sleep, and the horse keeps taking the covers, shoves her out of bed, just like Trigger did with Bob Hope. So it's a really cool video. Have you posted it on Facebook yet, Glenn?
Yes, I just did post it. I posted it so people can find it there. But don't watch it now, because we have a good guest coming up.
Yes, we absolutely do. Is she ready?
She is ready. You're good to go.
All right. Let's see. Right now we have Patty Reeves, the owner of Mucho Macho Man, who is definitely our Derby pick coming up for, you know, the first Saturday in May. We are huge, huge, huge fans. And Patty, we have so much to talk to you about. Because first of all, I found out that you are from my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, or at least that's where you guys live, just north of Atlanta. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. We're fantastic. I'm so excited. It's just so cool to log on to thebloodhorse.com like I do every morning, and you guys are like, there's paparazzi following your horse around. How cool is that?
Oh, it is fun. It's been a whole new world. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I looked at your website, and I was reading it. It's ReevesTR.com, and I was looking down, I'm scrolling on, like, you know, how to, about Reeves Thoroughbred Racing, and at the very bottom it says, like many other owners in the horse racing business, they aspire to one day have a starter in the Kentucky Derby. And you, I mean, let's leave it there until after the race, but my gosh, how cool is that?
Yeah, we're just living our dream. I mean, that is exactly my husband's goal. It's never been really to win a Kentucky Derby. He says, I just want to make it to the starting gate and have a horse in the race. And he says he wants to walk with his horse from the barn to the paddock while they're singing My Old Kentucky Home. And we're just absolutely living a dream come true. I get choked up. I'm so sorry. I've been so sentimental this week. It's overwhelming.
I got goosebumps just listening to you say that.
Me too.
Me too. I know.
So how is Mucho Macho Man right now?
Oh, the horse is doing great. He couldn't be any better. He got up to Churchill Downs on Monday morning pretty early, I think about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's doing great. He, you know, he got rested up. You know, it was a long van ride from Florida. He was on the road for about 17 hours. But he made it fine, and he went out the next morning and just looked at the track and jogged a little bit and walked around, and he's just getting acclimated to the weather change, which I guess takes a couple days.
Well, I read that right before he left, he had a blazing work on the track down in Florida.
Yeah, yep, he's training great.
I only know that because your paparazzi told me.
Yes. He did. He had a great work. They worked him 7 furlongs, and he came out of it fine, and he wanted to keep going.
Yeah, well, he's definitely on everybody's radar, and that must be kind of what your husband was hoping for. It is just it's a very cool experience. Have you been to Churchill since he's been there?
We went up, yeah. My husband and I drove from Atlanta to Louisville on last Thursday. And we got there Thursday evening, and then on Friday morning we went over to Churchill Downs, and we sort of had a couple days before the horse got there and before our trainer got there to just sort of get acclimated. We wanted to see, you know, the lay of the land, where our hotel was located, where the racetrack was, and we pulled up to Churchill Downs and just sat in the parking lot and looked up at the Twin Spires. It was awesome. I mean, it was so overwhelming that to just be there, you know. And I'm sorry. I really am emotional this morning. It is so overwhelming, all this that's happening. It's just been great. Anyway, everything was wonderful. The people were fabulous. They were very welcoming, showed us around. We met our barn stall manager, and he went through all the details with us about how the horse will get his own security guard and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
He does, yeah.
Mucho Macho Man has people.
He's got a teeth.
Patty, I'll tell you what, when we talked to you a couple weeks ago, you know, this was all pretty new to you, and the emotion in your voice now, you can tell the difference since when we talked to you just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's just sort of really hitting home. I mean, you know, I spoke to you, let's see, it was right before the Louisiana Derby, right?
Yes.
And that race, we were glad the horse came out of it okay. You know, we had a little unfortunate incident with his shoe coming off, but at least he didn't have any major injury or anything. And, you know, we were proud of him that he really, you know, ran his best race. And that was a good race. But in this business, you're always humbled. You know, we learn that all the time. You just, you can go in being the favorite, and then you can come out. You know, we're not being where you expect to be, so it really does keep you humble, which I think is a great thing, because you never want to get cocky about your horse. You know, you just take each day as it comes, and you just pray that they have a safe trip, and that mainly that they don't get hurt.
Well, Patty, you know, I want to comment on that race, because having horses here, if my horse loses a shoe, good Lord, you think he's crippled. He holds his foot up in the air. He's like, my foot. You know, your horse, talk about heart. I mean heart. The horse comes out of the starting gate, loses a shoe, continues on a front shoe, never mind, you know, loses a shoe, and pushes through the entire race, doesn't bobble a step. Continues on and makes a stretch run that is just absolutely phenomenal, and comes in third place, which, you know, so many horses would have pulled up, would have wimped out, and your horse has so much heart. Mucho Macho Man pushed on. He knows his job, and by God, he wanted to do it.
Absolutely. Yep. He's a very serious athlete. He absolutely knows what he's there to do, and he's there to perform. And he really, like you said, he has a great heart for it.
Now, we read, and I don't know if this is true or not, that when he lost his shoe, a little bit of his hoof came off. Has that healed? Everything's good?
Yeah, that was fine. It was just a little piece of his hoof was attached to the shoe. The gate attendant actually saw the shoe go flying up in the air right after they left the starting gate, and he went and picked it up, and after the race, he brought it over to Kathy and said, "This is yours," and then we realized it had come off, so... he didn't have any injury from it. You know, he rested for a couple of days. I think it was a little bit sore, but within a couple of days, he was back on track.
Two words, Patty, two words, super glue. The Kentucky Derby.
We got it.
Nails, whatever you need, I don't care, put them on.
Yes, he has new glue-on shoes now. And Kathy's real happy with them. As a matter of fact, someone commented on my Facebook page, on Macho's Facebook page, that they looked like they weren't the same color as his skin. And I said, no, that's his French manicure or his French pedicure, because they're a little bit of color. But, yeah, we're pleased with the new shoes. So don't worry. We'll be checking them.
Speaking of which, you know, you're talking about pedicure and fashion and all of that. Have you picked out your dress and your hat yet?
Amazingly, I thought for you two I would dress up this morning, and I'm actually wearing my Derby dress right now.
Well, that's
what?
Great. It looks terrific.
I am. Well, the truth is that after this phone call, I have to take it back to the alterations lady to have a few changes made. So I thought I'll just put it on while I'm on the phone with y'all so that I could really feel the moment. So.
Okay, well, tell us about it. We talk about fashion here on the show.
Okay. Well, it's actually kind of on the simple side. It's classic. It is navy blue with white polka dots, sort of a la Pretty Woman in the movie, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I know very traditional. What you're talking about. It's the one where she goes to the polo grounds and watches the polo match, and she's in the brown hat and the brown and white polka dot dress. So you're in this blue and white polka dot dress. What is the neckline? Is it plunging? Is it a tealy? What's the neckline? And how long is
it? No,
the
dress? It's not plunging. It's just a scoop neck. And I'm going to wear pearls with it. And I have blue and white spectator pumps. And I have a white hat with blue trim.
Is the white hat with blue trim the size of Rhode Island?
No, it's not. You know, I'm not a very big person. I'm a little bit on the petite side. And I really want to be able to see the race and move and not have it get in the way. I'm a little bit claustrophobic with too big of a hat on. So my hat is very moderate, conservative, I'd say. You know, it's my first time, so I'm not out there. You know, I know some of the women have beautiful big hats, but for my first time, like I said, I'm going with a little bit more conservative look.
I'm with you, because you don't want to be, you know, first of all, some people wear hats and it distracts from, like, their petite figure like you have, or their shoes or their dress or anything like that. And so I'm with you that the smaller hat, more classic, is better, because when your horse is thundering down the backstretch and he's sweeping underneath the finish line in first place and you're jumping up and down, you don't want to, like, have your neck fall over because your hat weighs 25 pounds. So I totally understand you're going to function.
Right. And you want to be able to see without having to cock your head when you talk to someone, you know. And then the funniest thing is, you know, when someone comes up to say hello and they try to kiss you and they can't even get near your face because your hat's too big.
That's an excellent plan for visiting Grandma's house, you know, for little kids at Easter time. Mommy,
right,
give me the really big hat. Yeah, okay.
Well, the funniest dilemma been about the shoes, though, because you know, I got the whole outfit together and I got these white spectator pumps, and then Dean says, well, how are you going to wear those when we walk on the track from the barn to the paddock? And I was like dumbstruck. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't, no way can I walk in these high heels on that track. So I've listened to a lot of other ladies and they've all told me, oh, go get flip-flops or go get flats. But when we were in Louisville this past weekend, it was so cold and rainy that I had the idea that maybe I should get something a little bit more weather friendly. So I went out and I actually found a pair of blue and white polka dot rubber boots.
Oh, yay!
Hey, that's
you're
perfect.
My new best friend!
I couldn't believe it. I got them at DSW and I said, these were just meant for this dress. So if it rains, I am all set.
Hey, Patty, I want to give a shout-out here. I hear that Dean, your hubby, and Kathy, your trainer, are listening in. Let's remind everybody, too, that one of the reasons that we chose Mucho Macho Man is because you have a female trainer, and boy, has she been getting the publicity.
Yeah, woo-hoo, go Kathy, absolutely.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Kathy.
Oh, Kathy just amazes me every day. She's such a hard worker. She gets up at, you know, 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning and goes to the barn every single day. You know, I was reading in the news, and a lot of the trainers, maybe when they ship their horses into Churchill Downs, they have maybe their assistants accompany the horse, but not Kathy. She flew in ahead of time so that she could be there at 2:30 in the morning when that horse got off the trailer. And not just Kathy, but the folks that work for her, Gilbert and Tio and Mikey, they actually rode in the back of the van with the horse all the way to be sure that everything was okay. I mean, they didn't ride up front. They rode in the back. I said, how was that? She said, oh, it's like riding in a cement mixer.
Very bumpy.
It makes you realize how much space you need to give horse trailers when they're going down the road, because, my gosh, you're right. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. It is like riding in a cement mixture. But, wait, are you telling me that Kathy rode in the back as well the whole
way? No. Kathy flew up ahead of time and arrived in Louisville on Sunday and then got settled in. We got her settled in, and then she got up to meet the trailer at Churchill Downs when it arrived at 2:30 or 2:45 in the morning.
Okay,
so
you need to pay her more. You need to pay her a lot more. She's riding the trailer.
Now, will you and Dean be coming up early and doing all of the festivities for Derby Week?
Oh, absolutely. Dean's still there, as a matter of fact. He's there right now at Churchill with Kathy, And he's just, we have a family wedding out of town this weekend, so we're going to that in California. And then he'll be back up there again on Monday right through Derby Day. And then I'll be there the entire week as well. So, and then we have a lot of family coming in, and we've booked hotel rooms, and we have a party planned. We have booked a tour bus to take all of our people back and forth. We're having a big time with it.
Now, how about the namesake? How about the band? Have you accomplished anything with the band?
Oh, yes. And the funniest thing was, they've been great. I was in South Florida about 2 weeks ago at Gulfstream when we were there for the Florida Derby, and I saw a billboard on I-95 that said the Village People and the Spinners were going to be playing in Miami on, like, April the 17th. So I contacted the Village People, and I said, you know, that is just great that you're going to be there. We'd love it. Is there any chance the guys would like to come over and see? I said, would they like to come and see the real thing? Macho Man. And they said, absolutely. The manager is wonderful. He always gets back to me right away, and we've developed a great rapport. In fact, he offered that if we wanted to come to the concert, he would give us some VIP backstage passes and, you know, have us come down and meet the band. And it turned out that it was the Sunday night that the horse was leaving, so there was no way that we could make it. So we did invite them to come up and visit, and they were going to. It just didn't work out with their time schedule and our time schedule. You know, horses are up early in the morning and at the track, and musicians, I guess, you know, they work late at night,
yeah,
so they're
not
probably
so
not morning people like horse people.
No, not so much.
But they did. They sent us a signed autograph picture of themselves, and Kathy took it with her to Churchill Downs, and I've heard that she has hung it outside the barn outside the horse's stable so that he could look at it.
Now, what you need to do is send them an autographed photo of Macho, yeah. Macho Man.
That's right. That's a great idea. I should.
There's a little hoof print on it. Yeah, that's
right. Have him step on it. That'd be great. So I got to know, too, because the whole word was, okay, Mucho Macho Man arrives on the same day at Churchill Downs as Uncle Mo. I want to know, do you guys, like, walk Mucho Macho Man by Uncle Mo's stall and, like, you know, do anything? Like, is there, like, some rivalry between your barn and Todd Fletcher's barn? I got to know, is there any, like, backstretch kind of, like, drama?
No, I don't think so. In
Darn.
Fact, you know, with the horses, I don't get the feeling that it's really like that too much at all. I mean, I think everyone just hopes for a safe trip. I know that Dean said he met Mike Rapoli at the auction and had a nice chat with him, and he said that Mike said to him, I'll tell you what, I'm going to root for your horse to come in second. And Dean said, that's a deal, and I'm going to root for your horse to come in second.
And then he kicked him in the shin. No.
No.
Oh, I'm just
He's
kidding.
He's a horse, and, you know, there's all. We're just so honored to be in the company of these great horses. It's just, it's really a privilege just to be there.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, are so excited for you.
Triple M is going to beat single M any day. You got 3 M. He only has one. No
triple
problem.
Triple M. That's funny.
Well, listen, we certainly do appreciate you being on with us. It is just absolutely a pleasure to talk to you, especially in this, you know, super exciting time. I know we're going to talk to you again, I think, after they do the draw and find out what we like about his post position, what we, you know, just everything that's going to go on leading up to the week. So we are very excited. Patty Reeves, owner of Mucho Macho Man, and shout out to Dean and Kathy that are listening to you. Does that make you nervous that your husband's listening to your interview, by the way?
No, he listens to me all the time. He's probably tuned me out already.
Yeah, my wife does that too.
Oh, Patty. All right, Patty, thank you so much for being on, and we will be placing our bets. Any word on how much your husband's going to lay down as far as the betting goes?
You know, we haven't talked about that yet. I'm sure he knows, so I'll have to ask him when he gets home tonight.
Oh, yeah, find out, because, you know, he's got to up it now.
Yeah.
A little bit more. Well, good luck. I cannot wait to see you in your little welly boots walking down the backstretch of going out to the Derby. So
Look, we're paying for sunshine, so let's not jinx it. But if it does rain, we're prepared.
do not spill anything on that dress, woman, as you're sitting here in your derby dress. Take it off, hang it up, and get it to the alterations, and do not look at it again until it's derby day.
Okay.
All
well,
right,
thanks,
thanks,
you guys.
Kat.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks,
okay.
Patty.
Thanks, Patty. Good luck.
Patty. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, Jamie, I actually think that we went off the air there. I think that we've had a technical difficulty. I'm not sure whether people are hearing us right now or not. So, and I can't, at this point, can't even play the song. So I think it's just, well, let me see if I can play the song at this point. Let me see if we can play a little bit of Your Friend and Wishing Well, Lindsay Riker's Band. No, I don't think I can at this point. Are you still there, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm right
okay.
here, right here,
yeah.
No problem.
Well, what happened is we've lost Jennifer, and Jennifer is the one that gets the room set up, and I kind of think that we're probably not even on the air at this point, but we're still being recorded, and I think Jennifer's probably trying to call back in. So we're waiting for her to do that.
Well, if anybody missed that, then we can just play Kathy again later, Patty again later, and at least Kathy and Dean heard. You know?
Right.
They're still on hold. Well, before I'm so excited about the Derby, and it's so nice to talk to somebody so down to earth and so excited, and it just seems like her husband Dean is thrilled about the whole thing as well. I mean, you must be considering, you know, you've got. It's a dream come true to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby, and they are very humble, and I do appreciate that about them, and I'm definitely pulling for, you know, Uncle Mo to come in second as well.
Okay, and I think what's happened here is with the storms last night, it looks like we have lost our telephone, which is how we connect into the system and how Jennifer gets in, so she's going to try calling in on the cell to see if we can continue. It does look like we've gone off the air because I've gotten
No. Everybody is still saying we're still on the air. You're still on. Susan, Christy, Robert, Karen, everybody.
Yay.
So, yay! Thank you guys, Katie, Robert, everybody for letting us know we're still on the air, Rick.
Holy everybody smokes. I guess we have a lot of listeners, huh?
I'm excited. Thanks, guys.
The interesting part is, though, we can't do anything except sit here and chat with each other, because I don't think we can take calls or even play. Oh, there she comes. It looks like she's popping in now, so we might be good there. Thank you, everybody. That is the first time ever that our host has been, that the producer has been off, and we weren't sure what would happen if that happens, and apparently we stay on the air. So that's
she
good
is
to know.
Sick of us. Glenn, and she hung up because she just wanted no part of it anymore. I don't blame her.
I don't blame
Can
her
I
either.
Hang up? I got to talk to Patty. I'm good.
You did well, too. I can tell you, when you talk to racing people, you get so excited. You are getting the wrong business. You should be in the racing business because you get so, that is your passion.
Oh, I like the whole story that goes along with it. I mean, it's such a, it's a little girl's dream come true to be, you know, associated with the Kentucky Derby. So the fact that she gets to have a horse in it, and I mean, even non-horse people know what the Kentucky Derby is. Everybody, I mean, non-horse people have derby parties. So it's a huge celebration of the horse. And it's such a cool part of the year. It's springtime. The flowers are blooming. The horses are running. It's just a phenomenal time. So I definitely enjoy the buildup. And I love talking to Patty and kind of getting her insight. And what, you know, I don't know what I would wear. I cannot believe she was sitting there in the stinking dress talking to us. I'd be like, I'm going to spill coffee on this thing. Stay away from me. I cannot mess this up. So I can't wait to see if that's the one. Hopefully she doesn't change her mind and get a different dress before then. We will find out, I guess.
All right, let's take a break. I think I can actually play our song today. And we'll be back with the horse. Is going to be here with the weekly horse health report, trying to gross me out. And we'll see if they succeed at that today. But first, we want to play our song. This is brought to you by FeedXL. If you're not sure whether you're feeding your horse correctly, whether you're giving them too much of this or too little of that, the easy way to find out is to go to FeedXL.com. Just put in a little information about your horse. put in a little information about what you feed your horse, and they're going to take all of that, crunch it down, and print out some reports for you that are very extensive and very thorough. You might be doing too much vitamin A, not enough vitamin C. It's going to tell you all of that. It's going to tell you how to fix it. And, you know, this program can actually save you money because most people are overfeeding, like Frankie and Popcorn. They're just overfeeding, not me. Not me and Beaker. You know, you notice how I use Frankie and Popcorn as the example, not me.
Of course not.
No, not at all. Because I've done the FeedXL report, and actually Beaker needs more food. I brought it in, I showed it to Jennifer, and, you know, she thinks I fudged the charts a little bit. You know, I don't know why she would think that, but you can find out for yourself whether you're feeding your horse correctly at FeedXL.com. And now a little wishing well with your friend Lindsay Raker. Maybe. We'll see if this works. We're not promising anything this morning. You know, when before the show started, I said to Jennifer, I said, you know, with all the weather we had here, we're lucky we're even on the air this morning with lightning.
You mean to try
cold.
It?
I'll
try it.
There we go. Enjoy, everybody.
Wishing well twice a week. $26 from the stream I keep. Thank you.
That is the Lindsay Rakers Band, and you can check it out. What's your website, lindsayrakersband.com, Glenn?
Yes. Yep, yep.
And you can also follow her on Facebook. So that's Wishing Well by Lindsay Rakers Band, one of my old friends. That's so cool. She's so much better than I am. I love it. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. You can find them at backontrackproducts.com. And I want to let everybody know that during that segment where Glenn and Jennifer, they thought we were off the air, and everybody's posting, "You're on the air, we can hear you, we can hear you." I did get an instant message from Christy from thehorse.com that just simply said, "Don't say anything we don't want you to hear. You don't want us to hear."
You know, I've learned from politicians. I've learned from politicians that when there's a mic in front of your face, you never say anything you don't want people to hear. So Jamie and I have learned that, and we are very careful about that. We wait until after the show. It's completely off, and then we say bad things about everybody, but not during the show. Hey, I wanted to say, too, before we go to the weekly health report, that we have something very special for you. Jamie doesn't even know about this. At the end of the show today, I have a very, very special piece I put together to take us out of the show today. So you're going to want to wait and listen till the very end, because we have a I have a surprise for everybody. And I know Jamie just so loves it when I surprise her with stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our weekly health report with thehorse.com. And
uh-oh.
Let me try this. Boy, I'll tell you what, technology hates us today.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Happy Laminitis Month.
Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for warning us that we were still on the air and looking after our pride.
You're welcome. Glad to help out. I would want somebody to help me out that way if I were in your position.
Don't cuss. So. What she meant was don't cuss, don't cuss, don't cuss, don't cuss.
Because, you know, if I were in that situation, I'm sure I would be cussing.
Son
and
of a nutcracker.
That's the first time that's ever happened. That Jamie and I have both fallen off many times and we've had to call back. But it's the first time a producer who actually opens and runs the show has disappeared, and we were really convinced that when that happened, the show would go off the air. It's nice to know it doesn't. So thank you, Christy, for helping us out there. And it would have been a shame if you hadn't heard the end of Patty, because how fun is that?
She is awesome.
I know. Sitting there in her dress.
That is now my Derby pick, just because I enjoyed listening to her so much.
Yay! Good to watch, man.
She's so cool.
Well, we're not talking about, you know, Mucho Macho Man lost a shoe and a piece of his hoof in the last race, but we're not talking about losing hoof. Well, we sort of are with Laminitis, aren't we? So is this the last of the Laminitis month, or do we have one more?
We have one more.
What was
that was
for?
The worst.
I thought I had a beautiful transition there.
That was the worst segue I have ever heard in my entire life. He lost a hoof, but he didn't really lose a hoof, but he lost part of a hoof, and then it's Laminitis, Glenn. Let her just go. Let her go.
We don't usually put Laminitis and whips in the same sentence, but I don't know. I suppose we could make it work. But no, we actually have one more show on Laminitis. Next week we're going to be talking with Dr. Stephen O'Grady about shoeing, but today we're going to talk a little bit about metabolic issues, because that seems to be a lot more of a frequent cause of laminitis these days. You know how when you see those people, I think horses are starting to reflect their owners a lot more. You know, you see those montages online sometimes of people and their dogs and they all look alike. Just kidding. Okay,
yeah.
So people keep talking about, you know, the growing overweight problem in America among humans, and I think it's definitely showing that's definitely showing true in horses as well. laminitis and metabolic issues go hand in hand a lot of the time. And we've got Dr. Nicholas Frank from the university, currently at the University of Tennessee, although he will shortly be moving to Tufts University next month as their head of clinical sciences. He's been doing a lot of work on metabolic disease and laminitis in horses, and I think probably one of the first things to do is recognizing when you have a horse with a metabolic disease that could result in laminitis or is resulting in some laminitis issues. And Dr. Frank, can you tell us a little bit about recognizing those horses?
Yes, I can. Good morning. The problems that we face are really divided into two categories. The younger horse that becomes obese, and then with that obesity is at a higher risk for insulin resistance, which is a bit like an early form of diabetes. And horses suffer from this problem, and that makes them, unfortunately, more likely to develop laminitis. And then the other category is the older horse, and the older horse will develop a hormonal disease called Cushing's disease, and this can also make the animal more likely to develop laminitis.
For sure. And how do we recognize those horses? Do we test for it? Do we just look at them and tell?
Yeah, well, the first thing is to say that just simply recognizing when obesity is developing in the horse is really important. So we have to say that obesity is really a health concern in horses as it is in people. And so the first measure is really to examine your horse, to do a body condition score, or at least just ask for some advice from your veterinarian and say, you know, is this horse at an appropriate body condition, or is it getting too fat? And if it is getting too fat, then try to get that under control, and get that under control through exercise, through changes in diet, and that sort of measure. And if you do that well in advance, if you basically prevent obesity, then you're going to automatically lower the risk of that horse developing laminitis. In terms of testing, there are some tests that can be done, blood tests and some more challenge tests that can be done by your veterinarian to look at that obese horse and say, not only is that horse obese, but it's actually now developing insulin resistance and therefore is at even higher risk of developing laminitis. When we talk about the old horse with Cushing's, again, there's some hallmark signs that we can see just by looking at the animal. The horse that is slow to shed out its winter hair coat or is developing a thick, curly hair coat, those are abnormal signs. So those hair coat signs should make you then question your veterinarian and say, do you think my horse is potentially getting to that age, getting to that stage of life where we're beginning to see this Cushing's problem? And if the Cushing's problem is there, then again, we can do some blood testing and some challenge tests to be able to then say, yes, that animal has got Cushing's and therefore should be treated.
Dr. Frank, I have a question for you. I'm not 100% sure of your history as far as, you know, going out and seeing clients, but my experience as a technician, it is incredibly hard. It's like telling people their kids are fat. Telling people their horses are fat, they get really offended and protective and a little bit angry. So is there a good way to go about telling somebody, hey, you're going to kill your horse because you're feeding it too much and it's fat and you need to do some work on it?
Right. I think you're absolutely correct on that. It's a difficult subject to tackle. And I think the first way to do that is really to make the client understand that we really care about the animal, that we care about the health of this animal, and that leaving it in an obese state is going to raise the risk of it having laminitis and other complications as well. So perhaps we say, these are some animals I've treated in the past. Let me tell you about some of the problems I've seen before, and really let the client know that we're not criticizing the way that they are managing their horse. We're not trying to be overly critical of their approach, but yet we are really concerned about the health of the animal, and they can do something about it. And I think that that's the type of discussion that needs to go on in an annual wellness exam with the veterinarian, with the nutritionist, with just a good friend who knows a lot about this situation, going over and saying, look, I'm not trying to be critical, but you've got to know that this obesity problem is really a health concern for your animal.
And it still comes out your horse is fat.
It does. It still comes out your horse is fat, but there's a nice way of putting that. So hopefully the owner won't take offense at that.
And I want to have a disclaimer here, please, that this does not apply to Frankie Lovato or myself because we are exempt from that and our ponies are exempt from that. Just wanted to disclaim that. Our horses are not
no,
fat.
No, you're not. Glenn, Dr. Frank has a way of talking to you after the show. He's going to sit you down because that was really good, Dr. Frank. Oh, my gosh, that was impressive. I feel like I need to starve my horses now because you wasn't fat at all.
I think sometimes, too, you can almost blame the horse and say, boy, you know, he's an easy keeper. These kind of horses are hard to manage.
I think that's a great point is that we occasionally talk about metabolic obesity or the fact that some people have different metabolic rates, and that's really true in the horse. We do see a tremendous difference, for instance, between a Shetland pony and a 3-year-old racing thoroughbred that you were just talking about, the Kentucky Derby and so on. The metabolism of these horses is very different, and I think that's where we can then talk to the owners and say, we understand that you're really struggling with this. I've had an animal like this before, and really talk to them about the fact that what will work for their particular pony may be completely different from what other people are feeding their horses if they're in the same barn, if they're at a boarding stable, and so on. So no two horses are alike when it comes to their feeding requirements, and we really have to educate the public that there's a huge difference in metabolism between different individual animals.
For sure. And now that we've talked about identifying these horses, let's talk about how to prevent, if you see some of these signs starting up, your horse is starting to gain a little bit of weight, starting to get a little cushy around the middle, what can you do to keep him from getting really obese? And we'll leave the Cushing's ones for a moment.
Okay, so the first thing to look at is are you feeding any grain? Are you feeding anything in terms of a concentrate, grain, pellets, and so on? An animal that's becoming obese does not require any additional calories from grain. So the first thing to cut out is the grain. There are a number of very good products now that are low sugar, low starch. I say to a client, if you want to give a horse a treat, give them a cup, a measured cup, something from the kitchen that they take out with a proper measuring cup, and give them a cup of low starch, low sugar pellets as a treat. But the rest of the grain needs to be cut from the diet if the horse is becoming obese. The hay is generally a component of the diet that you can also manage. You may want to cut back down to an appropriate amount of grain, appropriate amount of hay, which is about 1.5% of body weight in hay. So that's something that clients can do, owners can do. They can measure the weight of the hay and actually make sure they're not feeding too much. And then the single biggest factor in most cases is how many calories the horse or pony is consuming on pasture. And that is very, very difficult then to manage because the pasture is a huge X factor. We don't know how many calories the horse is getting, and it varies from month to month, even week to week. So the pasture is very, very dynamic in how many calories it's giving to that animal. So what the owner needs to do is really look hard at that pasture situation and ask the question, is the animal getting too many calories on pasture? If that's occurring, then they need to either restrict the amount of pasture that the animal's out on, so put them in a smaller area, take them off pasture for a while until they get the body weight under control, or use strategies such as a grazing muzzle, which allows the horse or pony to be out, but yet limits the amount of grass that that animal can consume over the period that it's out on pasture.
And if your horse has already gotten good and fat, what else can you do to cut his weight down? Too sore, maybe he's a little tough to exercise.
It can be. Exercise, of course, is a great way to burn calories, and then restricting the calories, so putting the animal in a situation where it can't eat as many calories on pasture. There are some medical interventions that we can use, a veterinarian can prescribe. I think these should be reserved for the cases that don't respond to the measures that we've discussed, so don't respond to diet and exercise. And you know, we've got to be careful, just as we are in human medicine, that we don't try to create a diet pill that substitutes for good, solid advice on diet and exercise. So But having said that, there are some animals, particularly the ponies, particularly certain individual animals that are very, very metabolically efficient, that really are difficult to get the weight off, and then a veterinarian can be consulted, and there are some medical approaches in those particular cases.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here, Christy and Dr. Frank, is that at any given time, what you're saying, you can take out the word horse and insert the word human, reduce calories, exercise more, eat healthier, eat smarter, limit your food intake. This is all stuff that we have all heard a million times from reading and learning about humans, that it just transposes right over to the horses. So it really, you know, if you're responsible, it really shouldn't be that hard to identify and know how to, you know, it's really common sense. Eat less, exercise more. There you go.
Once again, I would like to disclaim that Frankie and I are not part of that.
It does sound easy, but I think we have to realize that it is actually much more challenging than it sounds, and there's a couple of reasons. One is that there is a tremendous difference in metabolism among horses. So you will run into individual horses and ponies that are just so efficient with their calories that it's really hard to restrict their diet so far to get them to lose weight. So really my strongest advice is don't let that animal become obese in the first place, because once it becomes obese, it's very difficult to deal with that obesity. And then the second big difference is that horses, for their own welfare, for the way we like to manage them, we'd like to have them go out on pasture. And I think the big difference is that if we have one of these animals that's so difficult to manage, then we're talking about taking them off pasture, which is something that we prefer not to do. So again, if we can prevent that obesity, then long term that animal can stay on pasture, that animal can remain free of laminitis, and it's just a better approach in general to prevent it rather than trying to deal with it once it's already established.
Sure. A lot easier to drop 5 pounds than it is to drop 50.
That's right.
Comparing to humans. Now, Dr. Frank, you're still involved with a study where you're looking for horses with metabolic syndrome to study, right, to learn more about this disease?
Yes, we are. I'm collaborating with the University of Minnesota Veterinary School, and they are conducting a study to look at the genetics of this, because we've really recognized that certain breeds of horse seem to be more predisposed to obesity and laminitis. And this collection of factors, obesity and insulin resistance and laminitis, is referred to as equine metabolic syndrome, and it's got some similarities to metabolic syndrome in people. So this study is basically, first of all, identifying horses with equine metabolic syndrome and then asking owners to provide us with a blood sample or a hair sample so that we can begin the process of looking at the genetics. And this genetic study, again, it's being conducted by researchers at the University of Minnesota. So I would encourage anyone who has a horse with equine metabolic syndrome or veterinarians that are working with these patients to look at the University of Minnesota website, which is www.cvm.umn.edu. Look at that website, look at the equine genetics part of that website, and find out information on how to get involved in this study. Because ultimately, if we can develop a genetic test, then we'll be able to say that that very young horse, even before it becomes obese, is at higher risk, and then perhaps be able to say to people that we really need to manage that horse very differently to prevent it from ever having problems as it gets older.
Prevention so much better than cure.
Absolutely.
So have you got any findings from that research so far, or is it still a pretty new study?
It's still quite a new study. We're gathering a large amount of data, and it looks very interesting at this point in time. And I think what we're also trying to do is try to work out if within this larger category of equine metabolic syndrome, if there are perhaps subgroups, and perhaps those animals might need a different form of management. So this is a genetic study, but it's a study that we're just learning a tremendous amount about this syndrome, because really the study of this syndrome is relatively new. And as you pointed out earlier on, we're seeing more and more cases as more horses are becoming obese, with the way that horses are being kept nowadays, with unfortunately people having less time to ride them and to exercise them, then we're really seeing this increase over time. And so everything we learn about this is new at this point.
I think it's a fantastic field to study, and it does parallel human medicine in so many ways. And Glenn, no, you are not exempt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, seriously, dude. You know what, Christy? He's got one guy that he knows that wants to feed his pony to, and so now they've united. They've this united front, and they think that they're completely free of any repercussions. So, yeah, Glenn, you're not in it. Do not take the muzzle off of your horse. Jennifer, do not allow that. And I know that Frankie's wife is keeping close tabs on how much he feeds that pony to. So you're
Christy,
in trouble.
Christy, we started a club. We call it the Unnatural Horsemanship Club. It's run
by
horse husband. Yes. We're starting a club. We're going to have T-shirts. Unnatural horsemanship.
Glenn, not to criticize, but I think you could perhaps be worried about the concept of killing them with kindness. So sometimes when you're feeding them to make them feel better, to enjoy them by giving them more grain and so on, you've got the potential for increasing the risk of laminitis. And I'm sure Christy has emphasized this before, but laminitis is one of the highest causes of euthanasia in horses because of the crippling effects of this horrible disease.
Booyah. There you go, Glenn. Think about that. And Jennifer just texted me, and she said that she has a combination lock on Baker's muzzle, so you are unable to pick it off.
Awesome. Well, and I think, you know, you've got that little diet saying that you hear sometimes, and you really hate it when you're on a diet, you know, that a minute on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. And, you know, I think when it comes to these horses that have metabolic issues, it's a minute on the lips and a lifetime on the feet.
And just to pick up on the place on horses that we see fat accumulating is very much in the neck region. So we talk about a cresty neck in horses that suffer from equine metabolic syndrome. And definitely we see different fat deposits in people than we do in horses. In people, it is around the abdomen or around the hips. But in horses, the telltale sign is an increase in fat in the neck. So hopefully owners will recognize that that's an abnormal finding and be alerted to the fact that that may indicate that the animal is beginning to suffer from insulin resistance and its risk of laminitis is going up.
Well, you're exactly right, and I thank God humans don't get fat necks because that would look a little weird. So where can people find out more, and they can get a hold of you? I know thehorse.com/laminitis, and Dr. Frank, give your website one more time.
The website at the University of Minnesota is www.cbm.umn.edu. We also have information on the University of Tennessee website, and very soon we'll have some information on the Tufts University website.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I think that what you're doing is incredibly important, and, you know, the education is going to be the key as far as saving a lot of these horses that are obese or predisposed to obesity. So education of the owners is of the utmost importance, and I really appreciate you guys getting the word out there and trying to save some horses.
Well,
thank you.
So
I enjoyed the experience. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. And Christy, we will talk to you again next week. You can bring Dr. Frank on anytime. I, first of all, love his accent, of course. And second of all, he's like way awesome to listen to. And even Glenn understood what he was talking about. So aside from being a little bit, you know, defensive. So
well,
Dr. Frank, you're welcome back anytime. And Christy, we will again talk to you next week. Thanks for giving me the heads up that we were on the air and not to cuss.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to help.
All right, bye. Thanks.
You know, we were talking about this the other day, we have seen a tremendous amount of horses around here with muzzles on this year, and I think it's more than I've ever seen in the past. So maybe the word is getting out a little bit.
Well, oh my gosh, your grass is just amazing. I mean, I pour the feed to my horses because it's just different out here. It's hotter, their metabolisms are high, they're, you know, my thoroughbred is thin. And people go, oh, you look so good. And of course, for anybody else's horse, if I saw your horse was thin, I would go, oh, thank God your horse is in good shape. I see my horse and he looks thin. He works 5 days a week, at least sometimes 6 days a week. And to me, he looks thin, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to feed him more. Because it's my horse. So I totally understand what you mean. You want to take care of your, you know, oh, my God, my baby. I want to feed him more. But I'm like, I have to realize that he's actually in good shape. He's actually fit. He's not fat. So I got to keep that in mind as well. But my warm blood is definitely a constant challenge. He breathes and gets fat. He gets fat off the air. So I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that have the same feeling, and I know you guys definitely struggle with it with Beaker. So, but I hope that Frankie learned the importance of keeping the young horse thin. Do not let them get fat young. Don't start them off that way, Frankie. Come on.
Hey, I'm going to switch. You want to do the whip now? Because I'm switching off of fat horses onto something else. You go ahead and do the whip right away, and then we'll get that over with.
You can just jump right in. Okay.
So yesterday I was recording the Tack and Habit show with Helena, and it's going to go live here shortly. It'll be live in just a few moments after this show, and everybody has to go listen to it. If you haven't listened to Tack and Habit before, you have to listen to this one because it was one of my favorite ones. And let's just say Helena was crowned Queen of the Jerks. Yes, Queen of the Jerks. And you'll find out why she was crowned that during the Tack and Habit show that comes out today. And also, there's lots of other cool shows that we have coming out this week. Denny Chapman has been on our show before here. He is the entertainer and mounted shooter and cowboy that we had on a couple months ago, I think. And he was the special guest on the Western radio show as well. Now, when they recorded it, Denny was 1 point ahead of Tammy in the rifle shooting competition. So there was a little joking back and forth, and we all know, because Tammy was here on Monday, that she ended up whooping Denny's butt. So, so I don't know what he'll have to say after that whole thing, but it was a good interview, and that's on the Western radio show now. We have some other cool things planned for the rest of the week. Jennifer has booked some neat guests, and I'm just pulling it up here. Tomorrow, we are going to be back, of course, with the Chronicle Report. And also, one of the things that's happened, that you and I read the news every day, because we have to cover the news here on the show, so we're reading pretty much anything and everything that says horse on the Internet. And one of the things that's happened over the last couple of months is a huge amount, just seems like an extraordinary amount of fires killing horses. Barn fires, we've had trailer fires, but mostly barn fires killing large numbers of horses. So we're doing a fire safety show tomorrow, and we're having somebody on to talk to us about what we can do in our barns to make them safer. We just thought that was good. It's going to be a little more serious show than we usually do. But I just consider it so important. It's one of the things that we all worry about, and you know, especially those of us that have had very old barns. Our, you know, the barns that we've owned in our lives have been 100 years old, and you have to worry about the wiring. You have to worry about the cobwebs around the light bulbs. So we're going to spend some time on that tomorrow too.
Education is the key. You know, maybe there's something you didn't think of. I mean, my neighbors down the street, you think Arizona barns are sheds. However, their hay spontaneously combusted and started a ginormous fire, fortunately away from all the horses, because they kept their hay barn in the back. But they lost tractors and equipment, and they lost all of their equipment and all of their hay, and I mean everything, because it spontaneously combusted. I had no idea that could happen. So we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow too. Oh my gosh. So just more stuff to worry about, but we're setting you up to fix it. So
that's right.
Paranoia
well,
day tomorrow.
You know, we talked about this, and we were like, do we want to do a serious show like this? And, you know, all of us agreed, Jamie, Jennifer, and I, that if you do take one thing away from this, do something about it, and we save one person's barn and 20 horses, it's worth it. So,
absolutely.
So that's what's up coming up. And, of course, next week, Rolex, baby. We're going to be Rolex Live the end of next week. So we're going to have 7 shows for you next week. We're going to be on Monday through Sunday, and we'll be live every day from Rolex as well. And then we're going to be taking the following Monday and Tuesday off. Jamie's going to be heading back home to Phoenix, and I'm going to be recuperating and hopefully sleeping, because when we're doing Rolex, we don't get much sleep. But it's fun. It is a good time. So we're looking forward to that.
I'm just excited. I'm excited to not get up at 4:45. So actually, I will be sleeping in because our show will be at 9. I get to live the life you live for a little while.
Didn't we tell you what time you had to be at the park?
No, don't talk to me right now. I'm going to live that dream for a minute, okay?
Hey, that's about it for today. You can listen to all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Wait until the end of the show because I have the special closing for you today. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Robert Dunn, yes, efficient with my calories is definitely how we describe our fat rolls now. I'm not fat. I'm just calorically efficient. I love that. If you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode ever. There's a fly buzzing around my face. It is fly season here in Phoenix. Go away. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. Goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. And here is Jamie Jennings.
How's it hanging? So much cleaner. Aren't
you
glad I washed your
wiener?
I admit it's kind of creepy that I had to stick my arm up in your pee-pee. It was sticky, it was gunky, it felt icky, it smelled funky, it was crusty, it was cruddy. When you stuck it out, it creaked like it was rusty. After half an hour of toiling and of squirting baby oiling, you're as fresh there as a daisy. Either this means I love you or else I'm crazy.
You're welcome, Jamie.
I hate you.
Bye, everybody.